Wednesday, May 2nd, Water Environment Committee meeting during room E.
Okay.
Thank you.
Top Water and Environment Committee will come to order. Morning, everyone. We're going to start with 3536 because we have people who have other commitments. And we'll be moving 3558 over to Friday for anybody here on that bill. So I'm going to open a hearing on Bill 3536, have the staff read the summary.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 3536 removes the ability to assert privilege for environmental audit reports within a criminal investigation or proceeding.
Thank you. Call for John Ledger and Don Meganson. Morning.
Morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. I'm John Ledger with Associated Oregon Industries. And I also have with me Don Higginson, who is a partner with Cable Houston Benedict, Higginson and Lloyd, who's been working on this project with DEQ and AOI for some time. This is a bill that deals with environmental audits. Just very briefly, an environmental audit is a self-inspection that companies do to see if they're in compliance with environmental rules and laws. And they may do the self-inspection themselves, and they may hire a contractor to do it. And usually they put the results in a report, so it's all compiled. And they do it to make sure they're in compliance, they do it to reduce their liability, and also by doing this type of analysis, it also helps them determine how well their operations are working. This control and emissions can tell you a lot about what's going on inside the plant. Environmental audits are often done at the requirement of DEQ, and that is within the permit, says you'll do self-audits. And those are always made available to DEQ. They might be sent in or they might just be held on the premises of the inspection. But a lot of companies do extra audits because they want to find out if they're compliant or not. And under the Environmental Audit Privilege Act, they can hold the results of these audits, the ones that are not required to do, the extra ones, as privileged information. And that's like attorney-client privileged information. And the reason this was done, the reason this bill was passed, the act was passed, was to encourage companies to go out and self-audit as much as possible, find problems and correct them. And when they do find a problem, in order to retain the privilege, they do have to correct it in a timely fashion. One of the issues that has come up, especially with EPA, is the issue about holding information privilege when it's a civil violation versus a criminal violation. And that has caused some problems with the DEQ getting delegations in some programs, most notably in hazardous waste. And so what we would like to do is call DEQ, help EPA, also help us get the delegations we need to limit the audit privilege, information that's privileged only to civil cases, not criminal cases, to make that clear. And that will free up DEQ to take delegations in some programs that have problems with right now, which is really for us. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
It's important for us to develop individual
solutions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Describe what would be a criminal case.
Madam Chairman, Representative Melissa Anderson, I'm going to ask
to establish committees to discover whether there are conflicts.
Chair Close, Representative Melissa Anderson, Don Higginson here. The situation would be where a person knew, the easiest example, they knew that there was a requirement that they had to have a permit before they would discharge wastewater into a stream, for example, and so that the Department of Environmental Quality could regulate that discharge and ensure that it wouldn't have an adverse impact on the stream. And that person didn't obtain the permit and intentionally discharged in order to avoid, for example, the cost that would be associated with a permit, or in order to avoid the controls that would be associated with with having a permit. And under Oregon's environmental statutes, that person would be susceptible to being charged with an environmental crime, subject to potential imprisonment, subject to potential fines.
That would be considered a criminal a violation then. What if someone died because of the discharge in the stream? What would happen then?
Chair Close, Representative Mona Sanderson, again, there would be the crime because they were intentionally discharging, and it would potentially aggravate the penalties or the imprisonment that person could be subject to. There also could be civil action brought against that person for the discharge if it caused damage to a person or property. The person who was damaged or the property was damaged could also have a civil remedy against that person.
I was just wondering. I was wondering if I mean, if it was really egregious, like someone did die, then basically the parents or the person, no one could sue, or no, that wouldn't be it either. I'm just trying to see if they would be held liable for the death.
Chair Close, Representative Mona Sanderson, yes, they would. And this bill would still retain the privilege for civil proceedings, but one of the key components of the privilege that John mentioned is that any violation you discover through a voluntary audit has to be promptly and diligently corrected. So if you don't do that, you immediately lose the privilege. So once you do this audit, and the idea is you discover that there's something that's not in compliance with the law, and you immediately correct it. And if you don't do that, then you lose the privilege, and the audit report would be available for any use at all.
Can I ask you, Mr. Higginson, the way current law is, can this information not even be subpoenaed? Can it be subpoenaed?
Chair Close, under current law, it can, and there is a process that if it were a criminal proceeding, I think is what you're asking about, there is a process for an in-camera inspection by a judge and a determination of whether the report is necessary for the criminal proceeding, whether the privilege has been waived, whether it's information that can't be gained in any other way. So there is a mechanism now for an audit report to be obtained in a criminal proceeding, but it's a more arduous process and that's where EPA has in particular said that restricts Oregon's enforcement authority for criminal activities and therefore impinges on the ability of EPA to delegate these state programs to Oregon.
This bill is about local control.
What I'm interested in here is exploring a little bit more what we are getting back in exchange for giving this ability. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Mr. Chairman, I know that there are a lot of things that people disagree about in this building. But I think this is something that we can all agree on.
So we are having quite
we can all be able to agree when it comes to standing up for the rights of Oregonians to make their own decisions.
The EPA and
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
They're being subjected to that. And we much prefer the state.
Okay, I've got 500 people signed up.
It's not that I don't have a high degree of trust in the ETA, but what guarantees do we have that we'll get control of these programs if this legislation is passed?
Representative Morgan, we have actually a copy of the NDA a letter from EPA saying that the statute, if it were passed, would solve that problem.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's my understanding that other states have had to do this same process, and this is not out of the ordinary. Is that correct?
Madam Chairman, Representative Lee, that's true. Oregon passed the first Audit Privilege Act. Ours is actually quite mild and limited compared to some of the ones that were passed subsequently. But some of those have been rolled back almost completely. Ours is the limitation that you've done on this one is relatively minor.
Thank you.
Michael, I'm the director of the
Further comments or questions?
Oregon Department of Economic and Community Development.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I'll call Neil Mullane.
Look at this memorandum. One of the basic tenets of this memorandum is that federal officials have not consulted with state and local elected officials.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee. John gave probably everything out
for
the record. My name is Neil Mullane. I'm the deputy director for DCU, and I'm going to be here to talk to you a little bit about 3536. The department supports this bill, and John has mentioned a lot of the things that are covered in my testimony. We did pass the audit privilege in the country first, and other states followed, and as John has indicated, their privileges were much more significant than ours. And EPA had a lot of difficulties with those audit privileges, and nationally has moved to go around to each of the states and request those privileges be removed. And the bill that we have before you today takes care of the situation that we have discussed with EPA, and specifically the sanctions for the privilege for the criminal activities. There was a question asked earlier about the privilege itself, I think, in terms of whether or not this is what would happen. And I guess that was the concern specifically of EPA in terms of us having the privilege for criminal activity, is that it would make it more difficult to get the information from the companies. And removing that privilege makes it easier for people to obtain that information.
I would just say that there is a venue.
Yes, support the bill and would answer any questions. I've attached to my testimony the letter that EPA has sent to the department in support of the bill also.
Unilateral, bilateral, multilateral trade agreements that is in place in the United States.
No brainer.
Any questions?
I have a question for our Attorney General.
Why is it really? Can you say that? Witnesses on this bill? Was there anyone else?
The components pieces of the WTO.
I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 3536. I'm opening a court session on House Bill 3536.
I move House Bill 3536 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Kefouri moves House Bill 3536 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Let me take a step back if I might. I've been sitting in this role. It's not a huge role, frankly. I've been point of contact for the United States Court of Appeals since about November of 1998. As you know,
We're opening a public hearing on House Bill 2049, and staff will read the summary.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The original bill on House Bill 2049 creates the Interagency Wildlife Management, excuse me, Damage Management Coordinating Committee to evaluate and recommend coordinate and
publicized measures for controlling damage caused by wildlife. We have a dash one in the course today. That requires the Director of Ag and ODFW to jointly appoint a wildlife damage advisor to this council only twice a year. And it talks about how they will function. We had a large fiscal on this bill originally, and you have the old original fiscal in your packet, as well as I've inserted the new fiscal, which means there is no fiscal. And that was the goal of the work group that came up with these dashboard amendments, that there's no fiscal on the advisory committee. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to recess the hearing on House Bill 2049 and move to the work session on House Bill 3099. So, Leonard is here. And would you come before us and we have amendments?
Great.
Thanks for coming.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. I'm Randy Leonard. The original bill, 3099, would have required that ODFW allow licensees because of the large fiscal involved and some other concerns, we developed, my office and ODFW developed the dash two amendments
Representative Leonard, have you had the opportunity to get a fiscal on the latest?
Governor Kempthorne.
The dash two.
No, what we were attempting to do with
I believe line 16 addressed that. It says department shall provide the staff
we'd be assuming they would be participating on their own time here because it doesn't speak to conversation.
This is my second session on the Test Part 2 Committee, as I know it is for some of you, and I just recall last session the presentation from ODFW that the receipts from licenses and hunting licenses going down. And I, for myself, who is a part-time fisherman, to a large degree, I own a boat. I have the fishing equipment. But often when I have the time in a day where I can go fish, I realize I don't have a current license. And for me to go get a license means I have to go to G.I. Joe's or someplace, actually quite a bit out of my way, before I go fishing. And it's just enough of a hindrance that I I don't go. On the other hand, I am a person that if I had a license once and that every time my license expired, I had a renewal notice in the mail as we get over our vehicles or RVs or whatever, I would routinely renew, as I have discussed this idea the last couple of years with a lot of people I know that fish lot, as would they. And I think in the long term, we find not only is it a customer friendly service for consumers, it would enhance the department's revenue. And you'll notice we've also included the ability to renew over the internet as part of the task, as part of the trial or what I'm looking for.
Madam Chair, were you going to have Roy come up and speak to Representative Morgan's concerns about how much staff time this is going to take?
Yeah, that's a good idea. We were sure that Roy was going to make it here, but he's early. So please come here.
Chair, my apologies. As Representative Leonard has testified to, for the record, Roy Elliger, Legislative Coordinator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. We have worked with Representative Leonard on these amendments. We're prepared to put together some kind of pilot program with existing staff resources. Our only caveat is on the mail aspect, that looks pretty doable to us and not very expensive for us to take a shot at that. What I was cautioned at by our information people is that when we're dealing with the World Wide Web, there can be very considerable costs involved on renewability and licensing there. So I can't say exactly in our pilot program how heavy it will be on the World Wide Web aspects, being that going in, we know there's considerable expense there. But we're prepared to put together a pilot program with assisting staff resources and work with the task force and see what we can do this biennium, this upcoming biennium.
Just a ballpark guess as to how much staff time it's going to take to pilot and staff task force. I mean, Representative Morgan's concern was in existing resources, and if assuming your people already have full-time jobs and what they're doing, you know, how are they going to do this also? So,
Madam Chair, Representative Cruz, I don't have those exact numbers. Kate Brown put that all together in working with Representative Leonard's office. I can provide those to you probably by 11 o'clock this morning if you'd like, sir. But I just don't have them right at hand.
Can I... Go ahead, Representative Monica.
Yes, I was just, thank you, Madam Chair. I am curious regarding, does the department have a website?
Madam Chair, Representative Mona Sampson, yes, we do.
And you can't have a link to something, I'm trying to figure out what the expense would be, a link to a registration area within the governmental system with your own database, or is that still expensive?
Madam Chair, Representative Mona Sampson, I think from my understanding, part of the issue is that we don't have programmers right now, that we have to contract somewhat with some consulting firm to do this renewability by the web. The second issue, I think, is some expense comes from the security aspects. If somebody wants to use a credit card and send it, you know, through the computer, I think part of this considerable expense is designing a program to make sure that you have a secure site. Yes. So I know those are two expenses right there I'm aware of.
Every company in every nation should be.
Can I ask, does the product on an equal footing? Does the department have the ability to take credit cards at this time?
Consumers should have the information for
sterile purposes,
need and desire to make an informed
Chair,
choice.
Well, we certainly can't take them over to on the internet. No.
Freedom to have the ability to exercise your judgment.
I don't know at the point of sale if we take credit cards for that or not. I have to double check before I give an answer.
Okay.
A third principle.
Further questions from the team.
On local or national rules that treat a local or national environmental rules that treat products of all producers.
Building firewalls.
when you Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, I think that's one on this pilot project. My assumption is there might be some way to send some, for instance, just we took heat, for instance, when people get licenses, and if they want to give us an email address, we might trigger a renewable, you know, something to remind them it's time to renew. That's, I think, certainly one aspect of the pilot project we'd be looking at.
Have a lot of faith in a criminal justice system.
I would like to
that gives us an opportunity to see how it's working, see what arguments are brought out by the
forward
side
to
of
us.
That, see how they're weighed, and so we see
I would, however,
process.
Have some concern, I think, that it required a state representative to bring this kind of an issue forward to us. Since I've been in this body, the Department of Fish and Wildlife has been searching constantly for ways to increase their revenues and I realize, Roy, this is not
about the trial.
You know, that you're relatively new and this is not in your jurisdiction that this took place, but it seems like a little creativity of this type might be the thing that the department will continually be looking for, too.
And I think in the long term, this
well, Representative Jensen, that's why we're here. We're still on
I know.
And it's something that merits
there's been proof.
I think we have a very moral sentiment in the
I think it's a step in the right direction, but I would also point out to Representative Leonard that
you take a look
I think you will find if you really look at the increase in licenses, part of the reason is that it becomes so complicated to understand what the rules are that you almost have to have a law degree to be able to interpret the book. So that is another part of this problem.
I understand that, but as you...
As far as the department is concerned, because these are not some monies that are returned from the sale of sporting goods equipment to
the Department of Transportation is responsible for managing
Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, you're quite correct. There's important fish restoration money to yes,
it's not only important to sell the license as far as revenue is concerned, it's also important to sell the paraphernalia as far as
in the last session, so it's not
industry is
here,
concerned.
And I won't be going over
but on the issue, if I may, Madam Chair, on the issue of the web, where I understand the possibility of some problems with the use of the credit cards and the possibility that the department doesn't want to get into that because you also may run something up that costs you X percent of the process but the use of the internet for purposes of application so that you could trigger the application that the department then would send out the necessary material for you to apply for
Going into the 2013 budget is $1.8 billion.
Madam Chair, Representative Jensen, I think that's one on this pilot project. My assumption is there might be some way to send some, for instance, just we took heat, for instance, when people get licenses, and if they want to give us an email address, we might trigger a renewable, you know, something to remind them it's time to renew. That's, I think, certainly one aspect of the pilot project we'd be looking at.
Some of us spent a little bit of time talking about where resources
I would like to
the highway fund itself has three primary
idea forward to us
which
I would however have some concern I think that it required a state representative to bring this kind of issue forward to us since I've been in this body the Department of Fish and Wildlife has been searching constantly for ways to increase their revenues
and used to build
and I realize, Roy, this is not
you know, that you're relatively new.
And it's about 24% of the total revenues for the department in that regard.
That this took place, but it seems like a little creativity of this type might be going on the department.
Maintenance operations, planning, right away, acquisition of support services.
Well, Representative Jensen, that's why we're here. We're so bad.
I know.
The highway fund was the 3%, 24% was a total sum.
I think it's a step in the right direction, but I would also point out to Representative Lemington, I think you will find if you really look at the increase in licenses, part of the reason is that it becomes so complicated to understand what the rules are that you almost have to have a law degree to be able to interpret the book. So that is another part of this problem.
I understand it, but it's, I
weight and mile taxes generally increase when motor vehicle fuel taxes increase. In 1999, however, the taxes were reduced approximately 50% because automobile share of cost responsibility increased. The adjustments to tax rate were recommended in the 1999 Oregon Highway Cost Allocation Study, which is done on a biennial basis.
A follow-up to that, I would say, if he didn't go there because it's in my district, he went there because it's the best vote on the market.
Secondary. Yeah.
Are dealt with in the
Madam Chair, may I comment to Representative Cruz? The department is on the record on that. A few years ago, I think it's about five, we started an effort to simplify our regulations. We met with a number of angler groups. Believe it or not, we could not get them to think about simplifying regulations because when it came to their particular body of water, or the favorite spot they love to fish, they had all kinds of regulations that wanted to stay in place just for that spot, whether it's to keep others out or what. So, as someone who has always felt that you have, Representative Cruz, our hunting and fishing regulations should be simpler than they are. It has been amazing to me that when we met with anglers on this very issue and really wanted to make a go at it, I think it's about 5-6 years ago, we could not. In the end, we threw up our hands and said, okay, they want the regulations this way. Without the fishermen's support and people really, I feel the way you do. Our regulations are too complex.
In 1985, another two state increase.
It was just amazing to me that we could not get more support for that within the fishing community.
I think part of the problem there is you're dealing mostly with people that fish first and breed second.
You're right.
Okay. And I think only if the line's in the water. But the impact has truly been on the casual every one weekend and month sort of fisherman who just gets a whim like Representative Leonard and wants to go out and drop a line in the water. And you go looking on the South Coast and figure out where you can fish for what, you know. You either just go ahead and do what you're going to do, whether you're legal or not, or you throw up your hand and say, I can't figure this out, so I guess I won't go fishing. And I think that's a lot of the impact on the number of licenses we're selling.
Primarily, that's probably attributed to the increase in
thank you, Representative Cruz, for that comp dissertation.
And whether that
Madam Chair, wait, there's a bill coming to the floor. You'll be able to create a dissertation on that.
Okay.
In fuel consumption
further questions
for the next biennium.
Being none, we are in work session. We will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
Representative Johnson.
I would move Hospital 39. I would move the -2 amendment to Hospital 39.
Representative Johnson moves the -2 amendment in Hospital 3099. Is there discussion?
Okay, this one is Representative Projector. For the biennium is $2.5 billion.
Having put together ideas for the task forces, etc., and
98% of all transportation revenues.
I know the governor has
this chart includes revenues that are transferred to the city, county, and other agencies.
voluntarily accept task forces without
the slide that I'm going to show you shows how revenue collections are distributed on the same day the source of funds at the top rate mile fuel tax and license and fees.
Have
statutory requirements to be distributed before they are allocated to the highway.
For discussion,
for example, in late mile.
Is there objection to the dash 2 moving into the bill? Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair.
And the motor carrier operations
as amended to the floor with the DUPAS recommendation. Madam Chancellor, move House Bill 3099 as amended to the floor with the DUPAS recommendation. Discussion.
Revenue transfers before they go into the highway fund. And licenses and fees, primarily DMV operations, and a small amount of revenue transfers for the ATV, the fees that are collected, fuel taxes, Marine Board, that citizen.
Aye.
That leaves only 1.3 billion for highway funds.
Both aye. Motion carries. Representative Leonard, will you carry this bill?
The amount of money that they are by
the work section and House Bill 3099.
That leaves the state with 827 million for state highway.
Okay, we're going back to the hearing on House Bill 2049.
Chart just gives you,
and I hope you all remember the summary. Lee is going to report on the
driver license vehicle registration. Then that is increasing slightly faster than the population increases, so more people are getting licensed and vehicles than moving into the state. And this chart shows that vehicle miles traveled is increasing at a steady rate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had a work group that took this issue under consideration. And as you can see from the folks who attended, we had the appropriate agents of Ag, Fish and Wildlife, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, as well as several interest groups. They came to agreement on what you see as the Dash 1 Amendment. Dash 1 Amendment before you, which sets up an advisory task force that would work with the agency, meeting only semi-annually so that there would be no fiscal impact, to look at this issue and come up with a plan to present to the next legislative session. The bill would be repealed January of 2004.
Okay, and Department of Transportation, we talked about it's responsible for managing the transportation.
Glad to answer any questions. Basically, the amendment requests the directors of Fish and Wildlife and Agriculture to make these appointments, and the work group was comfortable that the designated participants did not need to be named in the legislature, but could be chosen by the directors. They well know who is interested in this area and would be inclusive in their selection.
Planning, emergency relief, preservation, modernization, safety, special programs.
Could you just walk us each have a separate, through the dash one here?
Limitation
in your basic budget is now digesting it.
Okay. And in the legislation itself on the bill, page one, we take out state and local agencies and we replace that with the broad range of people that would need to be involved, federal, state, county, and local government, so that it would be thoroughly inclusive. And then the rest of the bill is deleted. And the new section two allows the directors of the two agencies, Fish and Wildlife and Agriculture, to appoint a working group, and they will only meet semi-annually. There will be no compensation for the members. The idea is that the agencies and the work group members would use their own time, because this is such a critical issue to them, to try to find some resolution to the issue. As you remember, the fiscal originally was very considerable on this,
and breaks it down into the various highway divisions.
And the current fiscal impact has a zero amount designated. As a result of these meetings, then the work group would try to bring back a proposed resolution to the next legislative session, outlining some kind of a plan plan, and perhaps at that time there might even be funding available for some kind of plan. And the entire thing will sunset in January 2004.
Thank you, Representative Lee, for a very comprehensive report, and getting everybody together. It looks like you've done an excellent job.
Everyone was very cooperative. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I have a question. Thank you. I had a scathing email, and I just want for the record that for you to make comments, because I think the amendment takes care of what their concern was. They said their big concern is there is no provision for public input or oversight, and it cuts citizens entirely out of the equation. The way, can you just respond to that on, it doesn't say who actually now is going to serve on the task force or whatever it's called. Can you just respond to that on who would make up this committee?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mona Sanderson, I also want to thank you for sitting in on this working group. It was very valuable to have your help as well. I think that the directors and the folks in the working group talked about having sheep growers, cattlemen, farmers, those people who would be impacted, as well as other special interests. Generally, there are environmental groups or others who would participate in these task forces. But perhaps because agriculture, I believe Chuck Craig is here and Roy Elliker are here, and since they would probably be recommending to the directors who would be appointed, perhaps they would like to acknowledge that on the record as well. Myself, I feel that there would certainly be a broad range of folks involved that would meet all of the public citizens' interests.
Finally, at the bottom.
Thank you.
Nearly invisible is a combination of general funds at $18.2 million and lottery funds at $20 million. General funds are used for public transportation
rail.
Lottery funds are passed through the Department of Transportation at the rate of about $20 million for biennium to pay for light rail debt service.
Okay.
The following three slides address budget issues in the government.
Missing in action.
Madam Chair, Representative, the committee, I'm Roger Huffman with the Department of Agriculture and Administrator of the Animal Health and Identification Division, and
in part because of the failure of the most recent gas tax
through that program within the Department of Ag,
May 1999,
Chuck Craig was
it would have provided an additional $238 million. But because there hasn't been an increase since 1993,
so I will kind of.
There's also yes, no new gas tax.
I was part of the working group that Representative Lee chaired.
As a result,
there was
budget is less than a 1%
representation from the Cattlemen Association, Farm Bureau, and the counties.
In order to live with
those various, I guess you might say, spokespersons for those groups, their
on bridge and highway
as you see on line 10, it talks about the 9 and 10, we develop and coordinate programs and activities to assist farmers, ranchers, and other landowners. I don't believe that we have any intent to have a closed meetings or council meetings, but we would have representation from the segments, you might say, at large, and then we would certainly publish meeting notices so that any particular individuals certainly could attend and have their input. That would be our perspective on this.
Can I ask you, I don't see any number given here of how big this council will be. What do you envision?
To cover the cost of the services they provide. In other words,
Chairman Close, I don't know that we put a number on it, but I
only expected to support themselves, but to provide revenue to the highway fund in order to compensate.
I would defer to Representative Lee if she, as chair of the group, had any particular idea. I guess if I had to take a shot in the dark, I would say somewhere between 10 and 12.
Which fees were actually supporting
Madam Chair, for the record, Roy Elliker, Slave Coordinator for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. here to echo Representative Lee's remarks and Roger Huffman's from the Department of Ag Culture. And certainly, let me put this on the record from the department. Certainly, our intention to be successful, that these have to be involved in the public, these meetings. And certainly ourselves and agriculture will make every effort, regardless of how many people end up serving as task force members, whether that's 10 or maybe even more than that, 15. But certainly, the larger it gets, the more unwieldy it gets. But certainly, the heart of this is not so much the task force itself, but the effort to gather the information and talk to the public about these issues. And certainly, we would ask our emphasis here. I want to assure the committee that this will be a very public effort, and with respect to people have a chance to come and talk about the issues.
Do you envision yourself having
6 or 7 specific items having to do with the problem driver program?
I'm sure. I'm not sure it might be as formal as a hearing, but certainly it will be. I would assume be kind of a public announcement through the various groups, perhaps in the local paper if we have one over in Eastern Oregon, for instance. Making every effort to invite folks in and talk about these issues, so we can start to get a feel for it.
Goes up, and I often refer to it going up at a geometric rate. And that is no reflection on either the Department of Agriculture or the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I just pick any two agencies at random and put them jointly involved in the project. It becomes much more complex if it's one agency involved in the project. And quite frankly, I think either agency might be able to do this.
The legislation was passed
in the bill.
In the last biennium, and the 8-year license cycle began biennium, and will continue
to
103.
The,
and
wildlife damage
that the ending, that this will be the peak of the biennium, and then it will start to decline and level out.
I just have concern about multiple agency. For example, there is no reference here to how the appointments are made or split up between the agencies, whether we got 12 people, we give 6 and 6. And it goes on to say that they serve at the pleasure of the directors, which means the directors can fire them. So does that mean that you can fire ODF&W's and ODF&W can fire Department of Agriculture? I'm not meaning to be ridiculous with this, but it does concern me, and I see potential problems that will appear down the line when we get two agencies involved in the process of this.
I guess as a follow-up, I'm wondering why in Section 2, why the work group, the Section 2 in the original bill filled out why that was
transferred to the general fund, and it will have the effect of slowing the bus replacement schedule. So the bus perhaps will be replaced.
Madam Chair, everyone felt that both of the agencies were well aware of the people who would participate, who need to participate, and there was concern that the list might not be inclusive enough, and that folks in the work group, I see the sheep growers and Farm Bureau and some of the others are here, felt very comfortable with allowing the agencies to make the selection because they know who the constituents are. This idea about serving at the pleasure of the directors was something that legislative council inserted that we had not requested. Maybe something of that sort needs to be there, but that was not what the committee had discussed. We assumed that this work group would be continuing on through the process.
We can't afford it, Mr. Chair. We can't afford to do staff.
In response to that, I'm not sure that I'm suggesting we go back and further amend proposal that we have here before us. I'm merely suggesting that this is something that always concerns me, and I guess in part in the process of making that suggestion, not putting the two departments on notice, that we sure don't want this type of thing to be happening.
I'm going to give them the chance to prove themselves.
A couple of questions. For other ones, I'll just throw them out.
Mr. Chair, I think I'm wrong.
The agencies need a bill to be able to create an advisory council. And I would support passing a bill through it as it is, given where we're at in the state of the legislature. But I think it would be helpful if the some people of the group would putting into the bill at some point, assurance that it's going to be a public meeting, so there's daylight on it. And while I agree that this group should be weighted in favor of the most affected groups, that would be appropriate because of the concern that came in by email. And I think that there be some representation of public or conservation groups as well.
Within other funds, in order to provide as much funding as possible for bridge and pavement preservation projects.
Thank you very much, John.
$45.5 million.
Any further questions?
$41 million of
projects.
So I'm
going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2049 and open a work session on House Bill 2049
into a later biennium.
Madam Chair.
Madam Jensen.
I'd move House Bill, or I would move the Statute 1 amendment to House Bill 2049.
Representative Jensen moves to pass one amendment in the House Bill 2049.
One position within ODOT, 2.5 positions within the Department of Land Conservation and Development.
I move House Bill 2049 as amended to the floor with a new pass recommendation.
Representative Jensen moves House Bill 2049 as amended to the floor with a new pass recommendation. Is there a discussion?
Did you?
Representative King.
Seems like it would be okay for consent calendar.
I hesitate to do that since Representative Morgan is here.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke says we will provide that.
What is the feeling of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, as long as we're asking for detail, could you share the positions at the Department of Land Conservation?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, do you mean position description?
Not there. Okay, with your
What
should be an overhead? I believe that there's plan is that again, is something that needs to follow up on to the specific
further items. Discussion. Seeing none, the clerk will follow.
Aye. Moving on to central services, there's a reduction of four positions, fiscal coordinator, two positions involved in training and clerical positions. The other reductions, the rest of the reduction in the package, or about half the package, is in
motion carries. Representative Jensen would like to carry this bill.
Specific,
closing the work session on 2049.
Finally, in highway planning, there is a reduction of $1 million, and it's within the professional services. Accounting is there, and no positions involved with that.
Maybe we have a short bill we're going to deal with and then get into the land use. We're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2370 and call. Be very patient.
Increase over 9901. It is this in relatively flat revenues of the exception of DMV's fee changes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much. I am Chris Crane with the law firm of Miller Nash here on behalf of the Oregon State Bar, asking you to approve House Bill 2370. 2370 simply corrects some, doesn't correct, it modifies some serious references within certain ORS statutes and chapters, cleaning up some internal references, adding sections to where they should be so that when you turn to these sections in the ORS, you won't find a little note under them that says this section was added to the chapter, but to know series within the chapter, see the preface for further explanation. I'm glad to provide a further explanation at this point. I'm really interested. Actually, I mean, those 18 volumes of the ORS are, the legislature is the author of them, and they're published every 2 years by legislative council, and it's quite an operation, and I encourage everybody to inquire into it at some point during their tenure. I don't know if this is the proper opportunity for a full discussion of publishing the ORS and why this bill is useful for that purpose, but I did draft it for that purpose when I was with legislative council last year. I've talked to everybody who ever came into my office on a land use matter, and everybody's fine with it. It is merely a housekeeping bill, and I would ask your approval. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I guess I'm just wondering your motivation, why you would want to sit down and spend your time doing this.
It was interim. I mean, quite frankly, well, professional pride, mostly. You know, and at Legislative Council, I spent 5 years in certain subject areas, and I started getting irritated with the way some things were organized and all these little notes. You know, bills get passed in a hurry at the end of the session. You don't often have time to structure them the way. The preface for further explanation. I'd be glad to provide a further explanation at this point if anybody is really interested. Actually, I mean, those 18 volumes of the ORS are, the legislature is the author of them, and they're published every 2 years by legislative council, and it's quite an operation, and I encourage everybody to inquire into it at some point during their tenure. I don't know if this is the proper opportunity for a full discussion of publishing the ORS and why this bill is useful for that purpose, but I did draft it for that purpose when I was with legislative council last year. I've talked to everybody who ever came into my office on a land use matter, and everybody's fine with it. It is merely a housekeeping bill, and I would ask your approval. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I guess I'm just wondering your motivation, why you would want to sit down and spend your time doing this.
It was interim. I mean, quite frankly, well, professional pride, mostly. You know, and at Legislative Council, I spent 5 years in certain subject areas, and I started getting irritated with the way some things were organized and all these little notes. You know, bills get passed in a hurry at the end of session. You don't often have time to structure them the way that you would like to when you have time to sit down and do it. So during interim, you have time to actually sit down and do it, and I keep a little running tab of corrections that should be made, sections that should be inserted. And when I had time, I would draft up a bill, and this is the second time I've done this. The bar sponsored this bill first time in 99, and then I did another one. The one in 99 cleaned up a couple of other chapters, and then I assumed as long as I was going to be at Legislative Council, I would do one of these every interim when, you know, because I had the time. You just don't have time during session. And it's professional pride. I like those chapters that I worked in to be as organized as they could be.
Further questions, Representative Lee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you're looking for a project for the next time, I would suggest the water statutes. It takes an index to get through those.
You know, since I left Legislative Council and went into private practice, I've been doing some water law, and I agree with you.
Further questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Closing the public hearing on House Bill 2370, opening a work session on House Bill 2370. Madam Chair, Representative Kapori.
I move House Bill 2370 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kapori moves House Bill 2370 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Is excused.
Okay.
Aye.
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 Excuse.
Aye.
Looking for Representative Jensen. Okay. Not here. Okay, motion carries. Representative Kasori, would you like to say?
Yes, I would love to.
My consent calendar? I think Representative Kasori needs to explain this to us in case there's out there.
My constituent went to the hard work of preparing this legislation. I would be honored.
Thank you so much. Should we close the work session?
Yes,
you will. Well,
okay. Our last bill, I believe, is 2890. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2890 and call Don Schoenberg. He's not back yet. Randy Tucker is next on the list. Maybe we should have another neutral. Randy, why don't you come up and we'll have the staff read the
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 2090 requires the farm income standard used to determine whether the dwelling is customarily provided in conjunction with farm use to be adjusted to the current year dollars using the 1993 as the base year and using an annual adjustment factor based on the annual change in the prices received by the...
Mr. Chair, I move the dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 801.
Senator Gordy moves the dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 801. Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 801 as amended to the... To waive the move.
Thank you. Senator Gordy moves Senate Bill 801 as amended by the committee. It's made and raised and mean. Members, we don't have a history yet, but we have been assured by Department of Justice that a similar task force has generated a significant more than $50,000 fiscal, so we want to get the bill down there as soon as possible so we can find the money to fund it. Can we best it together? Comment you want to make?
I do, before we send it to Ways and Means, and I didn't know that it had to go to Ways and Means, but that is in part, Mr. Chair, because I wasn't involved with the drafting of this amendment. I think that would be the nature of the comment that I make at this point, is that Senator Miller and myself and the chair was involved in drafting this legislation after numerous meetings. And then I guess it was about 2 weeks ago we had a TAP public hearing, and at that meeting I expressly indicated that I looked forward to, and then my office and Senator Miller's office went to work on arranging testimonies that for our hearing, which was scheduled for Wednesday. We're going to go forward with that hearing. We have a U.S. Senator. We actually had two U.S. Senators that were going to be here. And I think it's just very unfortunate that we are now moving a bill forward in the legislative process without a public hearing. And effectively, the public was denied an opportunity to come and express themselves on this issue. And I think it is really unfortunate when that happens. And I understand, and I appreciate the chair's assistance in terms of bringing these bills and working on these bills and taking the interest in this issue. But I do think that it is unfortunate when we let the public out of the process. I think this is the circumstances where I found out about this amendment this morning. I read it around 11. I didn't know it had to go to Ways and Means because I wasn't involved in the drafting of the amendment. And just, I guess, register my objection in that vein is that I think we have two huge responsibilities here, but first is to allow the public in to testify on bills. And I can tell you Wednesday, we have a number of groups, of citizen groups, of folks in the industry, and we'll do a public hearing, but unfortunately it won't be the Senate Business and Labor and Economic Development Committee because we'll have to do our own public hearing to have a good airing of that legislation.
Okay, is there an objection to the motion or objection to what we're doing?
Mr. Chair, I think the comment by Senator Decker that has been joined in by Senator Corcoran is more than just a general expression. I think it's a very serious concern and complaint about process. and we need to do it. We need to we need to own that. And I just want to say that I join you in the concern that you've expressed, and would hope that as our committee work goes forward, that we don't do this again.
In order, folks, any objections to the motion to send the bill to Ways and Means? There are none, so ordered. And we don't need to carry it.
Who did this there?
We will now go to House Bill 3791. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3791.
Mr. Chairman, 3791 gives the Department of Transportation authority to set the minimum amount that a dealer can charge for the paperwork and other work involved in transferring a title. The minimum amount they can set is would be $50. The second thing the bill does is it increases the dealer's annual bond from the current $25,000 to $30,000, and then raises it an additional $5,000 a year over the next 3 years. And finally, it places the $20,000 limit on the claims against that bond when the claimant is not a retail customer.
Go ahead, Daryl. So you must have signed up. I don't have a balance sheet yet, so you must really testify on 3791.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. My name is Daryl Fuller. I represent the Oregon Auto Dealers Association, and I assure you this will be the dullest bill that you hear today. House Bill 3791 does three things relating to auto dealers. First, it increases the bond required to be an auto dealer. The bond maintained a steady $15,000 from the 1950s to the 1990s. Last session, we changed it from $15,000 to $20,000 last year, from $20,000 to $25,000 in September this year. The bill continues to increase the bond that dealers have to have in $5,000 increments until we reach $40,000 total. Second thing the bill does is it reserves bonding amounts over $20,000 to consumers only. What we learned 2 years ago is that bonds which are intended to be for consumer protection, that only about 15% of it, or 20% of the bond, was actually being paid out to consumers when the dealership failed. The other 80 to 85% of the bond was going to other dealers and financial institutions who staked their claims earlier than consumers when the dealership failed. So by reserving the bonding amount over $20,000 to consumers only, we are in effect quadrupling consumer protection in this bill by increasing the bond to $40,000 and reserving half of it to consumers only. Finally, the third thing the bill does is take an existing $35 fee, which is in Department of Justice advertising rules, and moves that administrative fee to Department of Justice statutes regulating auto dealers titling and registration of vehicles that be sold to consumers. And it modestly increases the fee that we can charge consumers from $35 to $50. Be happy to answer any questions.
Daryl, on that last point, you said it moves it to the Department of Justice?
No, I'm sorry. It moves it from the Department of Justice. It's currently an advertising rule under the Department of Justice. This moves it over to the Department of Transportation in their Business Regulation Division, where they do titling and registration work. And it changes it from an administrative rule to Department of Justice to statute at ODOT.
And this amendment, it doesn't cap the fee, it just says it cannot be less than $50?
The current fee is $35. It says that the fee will now be $50, and that the Department of Justice cannot reduce the fee by rule less than $50. Dealers don't have to charge the fee, and they don't have to charge $50. It's essentially dealers have the option of charging a fee up to $50. And they have an option now of charging a fee up to $35. This would allow the Department of Justice's cost increase to go above the $50, but it wouldn't allow the Department of Justice, it wouldn't allow the Department of Transportation to establish a fee below the $50. Yeah, it's a $15 increase in the fee. The fee has never been increased since it was instituted.
And this is the fee that consumers pay?
Yes, consumers pay for in exchange for the auto dealers completing the title and registration work.
So if I go to one of your dealers and buy an automobile, and they do the title and registration work, they charge me today $35 to do that?
They may charge you up to $35. They're not required to, and the consumer can opt to these paperwork themselves or to argue that cars are a negotiated price item. So consumers can argue that they don't want to pay the $35 if they don't want to pay it. I said it's simply a customer service fee. It's not much different than the fee that other stakeholders get, whether they're selling a snow park permit or a fishing license. The difference between those and with auto dealers is that the state gives the cut to the retailer as part of the licensing fee. In this case, we don't get that guaranteed cut. The state allows us to charge a fee up to $50 or up to $35 if we choose to charge it. We're not required to charge the fee, and some dealers don't. But this simply is an effort at recouping our costs. For my dealers, for example, when you're a large volume dealer, you have a title clerk in-house whose job is to do nothing but fill out the title and registration work on behalf of consumers. That's their entire job. So essentially, we have an employee on staff who does nothing but collect taxes on behalf of the state of Oregon and fill out paperwork on behalf of consumers. That $35 fee that we're charging is an attempt to recoup the cost for the benefits the state receives and the fact that we collect an enormous amount of money on their behalf.
And we appreciate it. That's by the way.
And we think it'd be a good idea, frankly, if you increase the title and registration fees. We think they're too low.
We'll have to ask Senator George about that one. Thank you very much.
You're endangering the bill.
Can those last comments be stricken from the record, Mr. Chairman?
Okay. I'm still struggling with the language, but I think I understand now what it says. Monty, do you want to lay different testimony over here, and I'm still making sure we're doing what you say it's doing?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Monty King. I represent the Oregon Independent Auto Dealers Association, which is the independent, non-franchised people. The costs of selling a car don't just include the title and registration, making out that paperwork. You have to keep the records for 5 years on the odometer. You need to keep the records for DMV for 3 years. You've got to store this stuff. You know, some of these dealers have huge rooms full of files. You have to buy the forms. You have to pay for the employees. You got to pay for the employees to drive over to DMV to put the paperwork in. And then when they get back, you got to sometimes send stuff out, notices out. You know, we recommend to all of our dealers, they do a Carfax on every car when they're selling it. That's $10. Okay? If we get into the title and registration, electronic stuff in the future, so we're talking about maybe $15 to $17 to do electronic title transfer, paid by the dealer. So there are huge amounts of costs that dealers do to take care of the process for the customer and the state. And that's what this fee is. Like we said, it's not mandatory. We don't have to charge it. They don't have to pay it if they don't want to. But we would appreciate it being raised because it should have been raised a while back. I've been working on this issue for 2 years. And I think everybody's in agreement. This is the way it ought to be done. And we've got the bond increase, and it's going up step by step. That's going to protect my small dealers, my small businessmen. So if there's any real problem with the bonding process, we can maybe catch that halfway through. Because if I got 500 small dealers going out of business because the bond gets too high, that's going to create a lot of havoc in my industry. And that's why you have the four-step $5,000 increases so we can see this thing happen, instead of whacking it all at one time. Florida did a study on their bond. 85% of their bond is going to business to business. So this consumer only over $20,000 level. That's going to be terrific for the consumer. Terrific. So we support the bill. We think it's good for the public. We think it's good for the state. We think it's good for the dealers. It's win-win-win.
Monty, you said four steps, but I see three.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the first step was already passed in 1999. It goes into effect September 1st, 2001, right? But, and then we've added three more steps on there going from 25 to 50. question. Right now it's 20. It's a 40, excuse me. Right now it's 20, already going to 25, but the 25 that already had been voted on and passed, we're now going to convert that into consumer-only bond level. It was going to be dealer-to-dealer, business-to-business, and consumer. So we're reserving 5,000 already passed 2 years ago just for consumers.
Daryl and Monty said that the fee is optional.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
How many consumers know that?
Mr. Chairman, we're required to. We cannot represent the fee as a government fee or as a required fee. Department of Justice, as part of the advertising rule, specifically states that we cannot represent the fee as a required fee.
Is it patent translation also?
Mr. Chairman, the Attorney General's office, while eliminating the fee portion of the advertising rules because it will be in statute, has told us that they will continue to have the advertising rule, which would prohibit us from indicating that the fee is anything other than an optional fee. So the requirements that go around administering the fee will not change.
Okay.
And we have agreement from the Department of Justice and the Department of Transportation in moving the fee over.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Close the public hearing on House Bill 3791. Anyone want to raise fees? I'll go to work session here. What's your income for?
Just vote.
That's what I'm asking.
I'm a yes.
Okay. Huh? Yes. Well, yeah.
I'll vote.
What second? Yeah. House Bill 3791.
Mr. Chair.
House Bill Parkin.
Move 3791 is forward to be passed.
Senator Corcoran moves House Bill 3791 to the floor with a D-pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
George, what's your good afternoon?
Okay. Senator Corcoran will carry it. We'll close the work session on House Bill 3791. Yeah. Senator
Corcoran. So, I think Senator Deckard's going to do this, but I was asked by Senator Miller to do this. There's no possible consideration vote on Senate Bill 801.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I just looked up the proper motion to do the same thing, so I'm going to support the motion that's coming.
There's a notice of a censor.
Support it.
Has it been moved?
Well,
I move.
You to serve notice.
I serve notice of possible regional direction, having voted on the prevailing side.
Okay, so noted for the record. We will close the Committee on Business, Labor, and Economic Development. And
so, what does that do now?